Recording started. All right, so hey everybody, it's Jeremy, and today is December 2nd, and this is the 1 p.m. Eastern Time Parent Success System Group, and today we're going to be talking about systems and structures, one of our favorite things. So let's go ahead and just have everybody check in real quick. Last time we talked about shifting expectations, so I'm curious to hear how that went for you guys, and if anything went exceptionally well, please share that, or if you're having some issues with anything, tell us what's going on there. Who wants to go first? There's just the two of you right now, so.
I'll be happy to start. Now, with shifting expectations, you know, what I was working on is, and it's a little bit more long range, talking to my son about college and, you know, just driving coming up. He'll be 15 in April, and some of his friends, same grade but a little bit older, have already hit their 15th birthday, and they're now have the driver's permit.
Uh-huh.
And he and I went on a trip here the week before Thanksgiving. Just he and I went somewhere for the weekend, and father-son thing, and, you know, we had a chance. It was a really good trip for us because, you know, everyone was unemotional, you know, quiet, and we had a lot of time to really visit and stuff, and he's really got his heart set on what kind of car he's going to get when he turns 16. He can't wait to get his driver's permit, and it's what we talked about in the last meeting with shifting expectations on. You know, we've tried to tell him in the past that he probably won't be driving right away when he gets his, you know, he won't get his learner's permit when he turns 15, and he probably won't get his license when he turns 16.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he's heard it, but I don't think he ever really listened to it, and I think he was a little bit taken aback when I explained why, and we talked about what he has to do to, you know, to earn that, and he seemed to kind of agree with it, but yet once we got home and he got around his three sisters, and it kind of was chaos as usual. I mean, it wasn't bad, but, you know, over the holidays, because he didn't have the stress of homework, he was a lot better. But the point being on shifting expectations, you know, we started talking about, okay, these are the things you have to do, you know, as the other caller suggested last time, you know, map out a strategy for what they need to be doing. And when we started to do that, he didn't want to hear about it, and it's kind of like all the conversations he and I had when it was just he and I for the weekend were forgotten. So a little bit of a step back, but, you know, we'll continue working on it. I know he remembers, but he just acts like he doesn't.
Ah, okay, cool.
Well, because it's not what he wanted to hear.
Right, right, yeah. But still, he heard it, you think. That's good.
He heard it. Whether or not it's really sunk in, that's a different story.
That's okay. I mean, how many times do we need to hear things before we either make them a habit or we remember them?
Right.
Anywhere from like 8 to 11, right, depending on who you listen to. So you're making progress. That's great. Very cool. All right, who wants to check in next?
So I will. This is Jennifer. I have 11-year-old Henry. I usually call on Friday, but maybe I'll start Wednesdays if it's just only a few people.
It just depends, you know. Some weeks we have everybody, and some weeks we have a couple.
So I wasn't focused so much on shifting expectations because I feel like I think I had mentioned last time I had a really big breakthrough with that kind of in the early fall. And so the thing that I was noticing – really throughout the time of the holiday. So I didn't work from the Friday before until this past Sunday. So I had like 11 days off, which is a long time to be home.
That's great though.
It was great. It had a lot of pros. There were some cons. It felt good to go back to work. I'll just say that. The thing that I noticed is, was really more about, and I can't remember what we call it here, but it's about the kind of the managing the parental response piece of how different things were when I stayed calm and when my husband stayed calm as opposed to when we just lost it.
Yeah.
And really feeling like, of course, there's the piece where Henry needs to manage and needs to work on managing himself. And so, you know, needs to have food and needs to have, you know, all that stuff. But really, I was reminded, you know, so much of parenting is just all on us, you know?
Yeah.
And it really is about, I am training you to become the person that you can be, not you're a minion to be subjected to my control and you're just going to respond all the time when I tell you to do something. And which is, you know, different from how I was raised, so that there's always the reminder of that piece. So it was really like, I just was really noticing, like, what you know, from a time where things went well compared, like, there, a time went badly and a time went well, and what was the common denominator? The common denominator or the uncommon denominator was how I reacted to the situation. If I could take a deep breath and get it together and not make this into whatever I made it into being and just dealt with the situation, it just was so much better.
Awesome.
And it was just a good reminder.
Did you find that?
I mean,
it
was disappointing too, because then again, it's like, well, I'm the one that lost my cool. So I had that piece of like shame and guilt about if I just managed to hold it together.
Don't
but
do that,
you know,
to
right, that does not, you know, you gotta let that go.
Right, right. We have enough opportunities to feel guilty as parents, right? Let's not add on to them. And in fact, I mean, give yourself a high five for recognizing that you are the person that made the difference and that you recognized when you were triggered, right? And even
right.
though you weren't able to manage it in every moment, you were able to manage it, and I bet the majority of the moments, over a really long week of togetherness during a pretty stressful time. You know, the holidays are crazy for everybody, and particularly
right.
in our homes with complex kids. So, I mean, it's okay. You did a great job, and make sure you honor that and recognize that.
Thanks.
Yeah, sure. Andrea and Lisa, I see you guys are here. You want to check in real quick? Hello. So we were just talking about what went well over the past couple weeks as far as shifting expectations went, or whatever you were planning on taking aim on, or something that's kind of bugging you or that hasn't gone so well that you want to maybe focus on or talk about a little bit today.
Okay, this is Andrea, and I guess over the weekend, you know, my daughter had a couple days off, and my son came home from college for the weekend, and well, what we noticed is, well, my son, he does pretty well in school, you know, I mean, he doesn't need much help. I mean, we still talk to him about it and support him, but he can pretty much deal with it. And so, you know, we noticed that my daughter, when my son is home, I guess she feels the competition, or she feels, you know, in competition with him, even though she's, you know, 3 years younger and in high school, but you know, it's clear to her that there's a big difference between, you know, how he operates and how she has to operate, and I guess she probably feels bad about it, and so her attitude gets a lot worse when he's here. I guess just because she feels that, you know, that difference between them. And it's not that we purposely point it out or anything. It's just there. So it was really kind of hard because she had a few days off, and we noticed that whenever she gets some time off, it actually really throws her off because she feels like she has all this time to kind of do whatever she wants to do, when really she needs to, you know, focus on getting her homework and stuff done, and having a couple days off just really doesn't do well, you know, for her. I mean, she does need the downtime, but she really doesn't schedule her time very well. So then
she
we get
structure.
Yeah, but then as parents, you know, we know that, so we kind of get all like worried and, you know, try to work with her to plan things out, and she just didn't want to have anything to do with it. And I think part of it was because my son was home, and so she kind of had this attitude about, like, well, I don't need the help, you know. So it was kind of a rough weekend.
Okay. I guess. So even when we're shifting expectations and applying that 3 to 5 year challenge, when we throw, I guess, new variables into the mix or different variables into the mix, it can still cause some major bumps in the road. Is that, am I hearing you correctly?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe we can
It's kind of hard to know what to do because, you know, we're so happy to see our son home and we wanted to kind of celebrate together. But then I think she just feels that competition and
Yeah. It's
just, you know, they just have different strengths and weaknesses, and unfortunately school is her, doing schoolwork is her weakness and that's his strength. So I kind of feel like she gets a little defiant, you know, when... Or not defiant, but she feels kind of threatened, I guess.
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah, it's an interesting thing.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll come back around to that as we move through systems and structures and see what we can help out in that, you know, specific scenario since more holiday time is coming up.
Yeah.
Lisa, do you want to check in? Sorry, Lisa? Are you here? Or did I imagine you?
Well, I'm Carolyn, and
hey,
I
Carolyn.
Just checked in a little late.
Come using on
my
in.
My aunt's phone. You wouldn't even have any idea.
Well,
I didn't have my cell phone, and I was like, oh. Well, so here I am.
Awesome. How are you?
You know what? I'm good. I'm tired. We
yep.
did a trip to Montreal to
oh,
look at colleges.
Oh, yeah.
And so it was our little family vacation, and so I'm back at my aunt's house, so everybody took care of everything, so I really, really had a 3 or 4 day vacation, so it was really wonderful. So I would have to say I did much better with expectations. It's really hard, you know, Sarah needs to be doing more planning, you know. So I know she's not doing it. So I sat with her, you know, in terms of the college visits.
Uh-huh.
And she got really, really frustrated. And she said, just like my husband always says, well, this website is stupid. And I'm like, well, they've got a phone number. Just call somebody there. anyway, so what was incredible is she messed up on the schedules for... both of the college tours,
mm-hmm.
One in Ottawa and one in Montreal. And so it was interesting watching it because my shifting expectations was that I'm no longer responsible for making sure everything works out okay, even if it's not my thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then what do you do when somebody else is supposed to plan something and they mess it up and you're however hundred many miles away?
had loss of control.
Yeah. So, but what was interesting is I watched Sarah actually do a meltdown, and I was like, that's kind of good.
Uh-huh.
I'd rather you have a meltdown now, realizing that you really blew it. So I waited till that happened before I started together engaging in her in a problem solving. Now my husband was kind of going off and his thing, and she's not responding to me, and I'm like, Ellen, she's melting down. She screwed up. She knows she screwed up. And she's stuck.
Yeah.
And So this, I think this is good. I think this awful feeling does more for planning to avoid that feeling than anything I could say. But it was really interesting because I just kept with the same thought process, which was, well, why don't we walk over there and then see? We can talk with somebody and then see what is possible. So the website times weren't correct. And in fact, she did sign up for everything that she thought she had messed up. And the people were really nice, and we ended up going on the tours.
Awesome. So it ended up being a great experience.
So it ended up being really great, and I just remember trying to not step in, be Dudley Do Right, and save the day, but to also not let this prove how bad she is at it and how good I am at it. So I think I always end up being the planner because I'm good at it. And then, you know, and then everybody assumes it's as easy as I make it look. But anyway, so it was just really neat to go there, but not, I didn't melt down. It was more like, oh, isn't this great? I am so glad we're having this experience and we're together and you're not by yourself up here in Montreal.
Yeah, so it was a
plus
good growth opportunity
French,
for everybody,
you know?
It sounds like.
It ended up, everything worked out better than it could have imagined.
Oh, good. Awesome.
So anyway, I think, but what I'm realizing is there's some other forms that she hasn't turned in, and so I'm looking at that. So what I said to her is, well, it's just one form, and so it was like, you know what, Sarah, compared, it's really kind of a pattern. So you're missing a few of the steps and not knowing that you missed it. And so I think right now we need to really get together to make a, you know, some sort of a, I don't know, spreadsheet, not spreadsheet, or a, something that allows us to know what are things that have to be checked off by when.
Okay. Perfect.
You know. So anyway, so it was. So it. But again, I feel just very out of place because I'm not exactly sure what my job is. Anyway.
I think that's going to segue really well into our topic for today. So just hold that thought for a minute, and let me make sure we got everybody who wanted to check in. I know we have a couple other people on the call. If I haven't called on you yet, or if you can come off mute and want to check in, go ahead and do that.
Hi, this is Carol. I normally don't join this call. I haven't actually joined in a while. Yeah, it's at work. I'm like in the side room because there's no privacy here.
Okay. Well, you can leave us on mute.
Yeah, my son is 13, so I know this is an older group, but it sounds like, you know, we can all benefit from it. Yeah, so what I was focusing on or taking aim on with Javier, or probably over the past 3 or 4 weeks, was, you know, getting his, either completing his assignments, or if they were complete, getting them into his teachers, because he was just, you know, it was just a huge issue for him, and so much that he was failing two classes. So so we plugged along, and then the other thing that we did, we talked about different ways that he could remember. You know, I also checked the online portal, which was something that I needed to do more consistently because there wasn't, but I was this time, which is why I knew that these things were his thing. And then the other thing was also, being more, I guess you could say, shifting expectations. So instead of being angry with him that it was missing, really trying to support him and figure out, okay, let's figure out how he can remember to do this, because at the end of the day, he's got to learn it himself. And ultimately, he ended up returning everything, you know, bringing everything in. He didn't get good grades on some of them because some of the teachers gave him half the value, even though it was late, but the whole point was to get it in.
Uh-huh.
And but despite that, he ended up making the honor roll and getting everything in. In fact, tonight we're going to go into a celebration. Yeah, so I was so, I mean, it was such a celebration, really.
Huge.
Very proud of him. So that's one thing. And then I invited my husband to come. It's so nice to hear a male voice on the phone. I work in the city. I work in New York City. I have a 2-hour commute, so I'm out of the house by 6:20. So
uh-huh.
I will get him up in the morning, but I'm not the one getting him ready. You know, so, and my husband's an attorney, and now he's going on trial, and he does the warning, and he's like, I don't know what to do. I'm going to have a stroke, you know. And, you know, he comes up, he's this fixer-upper type, too. And
gotcha.
I think he's the one that's ADD, too, but I don't but he managed to figure it out and become successful in life. But anyhow, that's another story altogether. But, so I think I'm trying to figure out how I can, you know, if I'm going to focus on something, and maybe these, you know, systems and structures are going to help me out, and how I can support him in the morning. And we had some ideas about how to do that, but that's something that I would want to focus on and see how I can support him and the whole family. And I have 2 older siblings that actually live in the house, so. Not my siblings, I'm seeing my children, I should say, my son. I have a 23-year-old daughter who's, you know, she's working, but she still lives at home. And then I have a son who's 20 who is going to college, but he commutes, so he's home. So I can enlist them, which I do plan on doing, and they're all very close. And you know, anytime I get an article on ADD or ADHD or the new newsletter comes out, I'm like reading it, summarizing it, and sending it to them so that they can understand it and learn from it as well. So,
sure. Can I interrupt you for a second?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So love it, absolutely love it when extended family participates in calls or takes advantage of the parent success system, you know, significant other, whoever you, grandparents, we've got a lot of grandparents that dial in from time to time, totally welcome. And if you ever need a little extra support or maybe a little one-on-one session, anyone at any time, whether you're a client or not, can schedule a sanity session with either myself, Diane, or Elaine. And you do that by going on the website, and it shows you our calendar, and you can pick a time that works for you. And that's a free 30-minute, pretty much one-on-one coaching session on a specific issue if you need to do that. Okay. And then you can always listen to the recording. So all the calls are recorded, and they're all in the client portal on the website. So if you want to go back later and, you know, you heard something that you thought was really great and you want to share it with your spouse or significant other or whoever, you can always, you know, drive them to the link or share the link with them and tell them to listen, or you guys can listen together as a family. Very much encourage that.
Yeah. I have been, since I haven't been on the call, so I have been listening to different calls. Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay, is there anybody else who needs to check in real quick? I'm cognizant of the time. Groovy. Okay. So we're talking about systems and structures, and systems and structures are the fourth part of our kind of critical response areas. And it's fourth because I think as parents and problem solvers, we want to go there first typically. But we really can't do that until we follow the parenting action model, because until we have a real good understanding of what's going on, we can't plan. So we have to figure out what's going on first, and then we have to figure out what area we need to focus on. You know, is it activating the brain? Is it parenting positively? Is it shifting expectations? And then by the time we get to systems and structures, we have a much better idea of what's going on and what we need to do to put something in place that's going to be successful. So there's millions of systems and structures out there. I'm sure you guys have tried all kinds of them. You know, there's checklists, there's binders, there's, you know, picture calendars, there's apps, there's mnemonics, there's we talked about the 3-to-1 positive to negative reminders. That's a system and a structure too. And systems and structures are there to help our kids with their executive functioning deficits, right? So specifically with, you know, working memory. Our kids really don't have a lot of working memory right now. We talked about that 3 to 5 year challenge. They just don't have a lot of counter space to remember all the things that they need to remember. I mean, how many times have you sent your kid upstairs or out to the car or something to grab one or two things, you know, keys and backpack or something, and they come back in with, I don't know, the Pokemon cards or, you know, their phone and not what you sent them out to get. And that's because they don't have the working memory space available to remember what all they need. You know, I'm sure you guys have tried this too. You just repeat it over and over in your head, you know, keys, backpack, cell phone, keys, backpack, cell phone, or whatever it is to help them remember. And that's a system and a structure as well. Also, our kids, you know, have challenges with time management. There's the now and the not now. They have no concept of how long it's going to take to get ready in the morning or to get XYZ assignment done. And then, you know, getting started, right? Those are challenges as well. So we put these systems and structures in place to help them be successful. And there's several things that we need to do when creating systems and structures. We're on page, just so you know, 22, I believe, in the workbook, if you haven't read it yet. And, you know, when we're putting together systems and structures, the things that you need to make them successful are you want to get buy-in. I can't tell you how many times I've put together a system or structure without checking with my child who has ADHD to see if that works for him, to see if it's something that he can really, you know, hang on to. And it doesn't work if there's no buy-in. You want to keep it simple. The first reward chart or behavior chart system that we put together was several years ago, and it was an Excel spreadsheet. My husband is an attorney, and it had several formulas, and I think you needed to have an engineering degree to figure it out. And by the time we got through day one, none of us could remember if he'd earned a reward or not and if we were taking away points or adding points. It was way too complex. So the more simple we can make things and the easier we can make it on ourselves and on our kids, the much better things are going to go. And, you know, we want to make sure that we're keeping it flexible because we have to try everything at least twice and sometimes 10 or 15 times, and we need to tweak this and tweak that. So you want to design it a way that you can change it if you need to and keep it flexible. One of the most important things about systems and structures is that we want to focus on the process, not necessarily the outcome, right? So if the goal is to have, you know, your child study for a certain amount of hours or turn the assignments in, then we want to make sure we reward them for turning in the assignment, you know, 3 out of 5 days, even if the goal was to turn it in 5 days in a row. We want to make sure we recognize that so that they have a chance to celebrate, be successful. That's that whole parenting positively piece. Remember that the ADHD brain needs some sort of motivation or activation to get engaged. There is no just get it done button. So when we're thinking about creating our systems and structures, you want to make sure you include something that's going to help the ADHD brain kind of kick into gear. And typically those things are, you know, things that are novel or new, competition, a sense of urgency. So that's great for the procrastinators. You know, they wait until the last minute until they're at this deadline, and oh, my gosh, if I don't get it done, I'm going to fail. I'm going to stay up all night, but I'm going to get it done. And that works. I mean, that can be a strategy for some people. Humor and fun is always great. Anytime you can make systems and structures fun, much better. And then interesting stuff, pretty much common sense. So we have tried many, many systems and structures over the years. Some have been great, and some have failed miserably. And I'm just curious to hear what's coming up for you guys as we're talking about this.
Well, this is Carol. So one of the challenges that we have in the morning is actually getting him out of bed. So, you know, so trying to figure out how to motivate, I mean, that's getting him engaged so that he could get started, right, to start the whole process. So I've been going in, like making him part of my routine, so because I get up early to work out, so I go in there, wake them up, but not really wake them up, to say, hey, you know, I'm going to go work and you got to get up. And then I come back up after I'm done. But then that's where I'm, I've been tickling him, actually, which is really getting him up. Because we start, and he's incredibly ticklish. And it's really, so it happens to be getting him up, but I can't leave until he's literally, like, he's awake, and then I'll go in and I'll take a shower, and then walk out and see if he's still there. The challenge is he shares a room with his older brother, so so I'm waking up, and he usually brings me to the train station, so it's not a problem on the days that he does, but on the days that he doesn't, he wants to sleep in, so I feel bad, but you know, I still got to get him up, right?
Right.
But is anyone else having any other ideas about how to get there? The other thing I was thinking of was maybe there's a donut at the end of, like, once he's done taking all his medicine changes, you know, whatever, you know, he brushed his teeth and he, you know, took all his medicine, he ate, he's changed and his shoes are on and his backpack is near the door or whatever, and his lunch is in his backpack, then maybe breakfast is last or something, or I don't know. There's a lot to do in the morning. I know part of it, we're also thinking of doing something the night before. Like making sure his clothes are set up the night before. My husband threatened to turn off the internet at 9 o'clock.
And that's a deficit as well. I know lots of people that do that, or they change the wireless password every day. It's kind of a hassle, but it depends on how committed you need to be.
He wants to do it for everybody, so none of us can go on it. We're focusing on that. And I said, well, then I didn't discount it. I actually didn't because, I mean, I use it to power down at the end of the night. That's how I quiet down. And I know it's not the best thing looking at blue light. But, you know, he doesn't have a iPad. He just has a smartphone, so I can take the phone away from him. But he also likes to read, and he will read a long time. So that's the other thing, and I hate the idea of pulling away a book from him. So,
It's a tough one. So, we know how important it is. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. I mean, there's so many things about. Well, the tickling thing is great. I mean, it's, you know, humor and fun, and it's novel. It's still new. I think that's wonderful. And I think the night before, you know, there's lots of. We have, you know, my kids who have ADHD are 15, 11, and 9, and my daughter was just diagnosed as a 15-year-old a couple weeks ago, believe it or not. But we have, for the younger two, we have, you know, the landing zone and the launch pad, and so, you know, when you come home from school, everything goes in this space, and you do all your homework in this space. And then when we're getting ready to go to bed, we have the, you know, the launch pad, and so your clothes are laid out, your backpack's there, your coat's there, your socks or shoes are there. So at least all of that stuff is ready to go. And we found that works for us. I need to do it for myself as well because I seem to be slowing down the process trying to figure out what I'm going to wear. But in terms of the kids, we've got that one ready to go. Who else has some ideas or wants to chime in on systems and structures?
Hi, this is Carolyn.
Hey, Carolyn.
And, this is something that is just a real bone of contention within our family.
How exciting. Tell me more.
Well, I also have ADD, and I'm one of my solutions was the military, and so I'm retired Army.
Thank you for your service.
Well, you're welcome. And but I really thrive on structure. And so I've created, like, I didn't even know I had ADD, but I always needed the structures and, like, routines.
Sure.
And stuff. And so what I've learned is my structures don't work for other people necessarily.
Right.
And the other thing is some of the things, like with the planning over the weekend, some of the things I need to do for me, because otherwise I'm totally lost. Everybody's kind of been like not learning anything because it got taken care of.
Mm.
Like we didn't know they couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so turning it over. But
failing forward piece, yeah.
And so, what's interesting is my husband. So, like the getting up in the morning thing, getting things done, whatever, I always have known you can't do anything in the morning because all you can do is yell. So everything has to be the evening before. But for me, it has to be early enough so that I can, like, still function because my lights are out my brain doesn't work too good anytime after 7 p.m. But after 8, it's like, don't even try. You know, so so things work smoothly as long as I was, you know, that the routines were working because they were mine. But now that they're teenagers, you know, we're turning them over. So what I'm finding is my husband's just, like, grabbing the control back. Oh, the other part is his job ended. So it's like a forced retirement kind of thing. So we're going to be switching places. So he's learning the family manager role. So, anyway, he doesn't want structures. He can't stand structures. So his response is just to do it all himself, and they get mad. So anyway, we're trying to figure out how can you set up a meal plan that the structure works for coming in and out. On the wake-up plan, you know, right now, in terms of, like, on the calendar, we haven't been able to turn the kids over to manage the calendar because then we're ending up jumping and hopping all the time because of unscheduled things. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I can say that's, in terms of structures and things, I love them, and I've let go of anything that just isn't automatically part of what our family just does. Mm-hmm. But we're in just a very new place of sitting and getting buy-in.
Gotcha.
And stuff. So it's a very chaotic time.
So what's a realistic expectation then for you and your family with respect to creating a new system and structure?
Well, I don't know. I happen to be a bossy older sister, so... I always assume everything is my responsibility unless told otherwise, which works well with my husband.
Yeah.
Because he assumes that it's not his responsibility unless someone told him.
Okay.
So all we're trying to do now is just communicate, which is working better, you know.
Okay.
Like, it's just learning how to talk as not – the leader or the follower, but as a group and stuff. So, but the taking aim is like which thing to do first. There's like 6 million of them, and that's where I just stop.
Ah, so do you need help taking aim?
Because I have no idea. I need a lot of help taking aim.
Okay. So I heard you say lots of different things. There are lots of areas of opportunity with respect to systems and structures, but the thing that seemed to be the biggest overall was buy-in and
yes.
Getting buy-in. Does that feel right, or does that resonate?
Absolutely, because
okay. All
I remember was being so successful as a career woman and then being a parent at home, realizing that, oh, I just created a plan, identified the problem, created the plan, I planned the plan, I did the plan, I cleaned up from the plan. You know what I mean? That it's like,
right.
Okay, rinse and repeat, you know, forever. And
mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, well, let's try something different. So it's letting everybody else get upset more till they want to try to figure something out. And then not fixing things. You know, so.
But I think letting them know. You know, I think it's okay to have that conversation and let them know here's where you're coming from. And it's important. I think it's important that you share with them that you recognize that adults with ADHD and adults in general, we all need systems and structures to be successful, and particularly those of us who have ADHD as well. You know, without the systems and structures, nothing gets done. And I think it's important to share, you know, we need to put together a system and structure, and as you guys are focusing on buy-in from everyone, let them know that you're going to let them fail more often so they don't feel kind of, you know, surprised or zinged when it happens.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy, I have a question. This is Jennifer.
Yep.
So what do you do if you can't figure out what system and structure you would use? So this is so I'm thinking of situations where sometimes my 11-year-old just seems to have these over-the-top reactions to things. And it's hard to find a common denominator. I mean, one is his sister pushing his buttons.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, you know, we're not getting rid of her. So
okay.
So they seem to be really broad categories of, like, so I was looking at that six areas of executive function on page 23, the monitoring and self-regulation issue. So, so just, you know, what should be a level 2 response becomes a level 8 response, and it kind of feels like it's out of nowhere. And so it's hard to know what system and structure you would use. Is that
right.
Where you go? And I feel like, I mean, I guess I could make more effort at the first part of the parenting action model of being curious and the other steps. But they, as I sit here, they feel like they're more random. I guess that's the thing. They're more random. And
okay.
So it's hard to know what kind of system or structure you would use.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if you feel like you've done a really good kind of investigative part of that and stayed really curious about time of day, situation, how much sleep he got the night before, if he ate breakfast, if he ate lunch, that kind of stuff, and you feel like you still can't find a common denominator in those, I mean, the next step, I think, is to have a conversation with him.
Okay.
And that's really common. I mean, a lot of our kids with ADHD and with other challenges, you know, their reactions, like you said, it's that executive function piece and that emotional regulation. Their reaction is way off the chart and out of proportion to whatever the incident was that set them off. And sometimes it's a matter of doing some anger management education or modeling
right.
for them, yeah, what the appropriate response is. There's a lot of great books on that. I don't want to drive you to a book necessarily, but I think Diane has a webinar that's on the website about anger management and how to you know, take your reaction down to a more appropriate level, or if you can't do that, you know, remove yourself from the situation. But I think it's a matter of I mean, just what you said. I mean, you inherently know kind of what the right answer is. It's just a matter of kind of pulling it out. So talking with him and maybe talking with your daughter and seeing what you can both do. Some people use code words. Anybody got any suggestions?
It feels much more. It's very quick, so it can be fine, and then it spikes. And he's always, I mean, so far at least, he's, you know, not a teenager, so he's contrite, and he'll say stuff afterwards like, "I'm really sorry about, you know, the thing." And this is what I was checking in earlier when I was talking about the idea of my losing my temper. You know, I definitely can do a better job of coaching him through it if I have not lost my temper. But I would like the issue to not just be I have to remain calm all the time.
No, I hear you.
To take some ownership.
Sure. But I think it's important too. I mean, you know, our kids know that we're human beings and that we make mistakes, and sometimes the making up part or the forgiveness and apology part is just as important as the, you know, controlling the losing of temper. Because it's going to happen. You know, you can have the best systems and structures in place, but they're going to fail from time to time, and that's completely normal. And being able to verbalize, okay, I'm feeling this way, and I'm sorry this happened, I shouldn't have said that, and really modeling a good healing process can be just as effective as being able to maintain your temper or maintain
right.
whatever you were going to say. Yeah.
Yeah, the biggest thing you have, is you just, you know, it's hard to find. You talked about trying to find the right system. I don't think there's any one right one. You just have to pick one,
the one
and you have to be consistent
right
with it. Because I know my son, as soon as you start to get a little inconsistent, or you let some things lapse, all of a sudden he's right on it, pointing out the inconsistency and playing my wife and trying to play my wife and I off on each other, but.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have to be consistent with whatever you do, even on time, on days where you don't feel like, you know, if they're supposed to do a chore that night and you get home late, you still have to do that chore because, like with my son, and that kind of goes into, you know, what I was going to talk about in structures and system is we do have structures in place. Admittedly, my wife has put most of them in place. She stays at home. I'm the one who goes out and works. But I know with my son especially, every day it's like it's the first time he's ever heard it. You know, each of my four kids has a cleanup duty after dinner. My two big kids, including my 14-year-old son, who I'm calling about, he and my 11-year-old daughter have, you know, they have to take out the trash, the recycling, and then they have to clean the kitchen counters and the floor. And my twin 5-year-olds just have to clean. One cleans the dinner table and one cleans the dinner chairs. And every night, you know, my three girls, for the most part, even my 5-year-olds, they'll go get their stuff and they'll just start doing their chores. And my son will leave. You got to go track them down. And it's like the first time you've ever done it. And there's a night where you get home late, or, I mean, it's to the point that even if we eat out, we still make him do the chore, because if not, the next day it's, well, we didn't have to do chores last night. I thought we weren't doing it anymore. We'll do it for 60 days in a row, and the one night we miss, to him, that's the new trend, is you no longer have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, sometimes it's painful. And there's some nights where I'm just thinking, you know, the kitchen's really not that bad. We can just let it go. But if you don't, it causes more anxiety the following days.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes it's, you know, you just have to remind them over and over. And that goes in line with what we were talking about on the call 2 weeks ago, on lowering setting expectations. And it's, for us, it all goes hand in hand, because you have to remind them of the structure every day. You have to remind him, believe it or not, he's 14 years old, and more often than not, you have to remind him to take a shower and brush his teeth. It's not because he wants to smell bad or anything. He just gets worked up in what he's doing, and he just doesn't feel like it. He didn't want to take the time because, you know, he either wants to watch TV or he wants to do something fun, and that takes away from his time of what he wants to do. But you have to be consistent, and that's what we're working on him with. And that's part of what, you know, folding into what happened 2 weeks ago, it all kind of gels together, is, you know, for him to get more responsibility, he has to be able to do these things without being asked, especially brush his teeth. He wears braces, and he'll go sometimes, if we're not careful, he'll go 2 days without brushing his teeth, which when they pull the braces off, I can only imagine what it's going to look like. So, you know, he has incentives to brush his teeth and water pick his teeth and all that, but... And he gets upset with you. I know what to do. But yet, if you don't remind him to do it, it's the game we play every night. He's going to get frustrated when you remind him, like a 6-year-old. But if you don't, he won't do it.
Mm-hmm. But you know that, which is great. I mean, you know that you have to remind him. You know he won't remember to do it on his own. He doesn't have that internal system yet developed enough to say, oh, I need to do this. So he needs that external prompt. And you guys know that already, and you're doing it for him, which is great.
It is, but, you know, it's reached the point that if he wants to drive, you know, you talked about at the beginning of the call when you and I were just chatting for a minute, Jeremy, that, you know, when I talked to him about what he has to do to drive, I said, you have to do all these things without being asked. I said, you have to quit acting like when we ask you to take out the trash after dinner, quit acting like it's the first time we've ever asked you in your entire life. We've been doing these chores for at least 5 years, probably longer.
Yeah.
And I said, every time, and yet, because he's not allowed to play video games during the week, he sometimes sneaks it in on his phone, but... For the most part, he didn't play video games during the week, and he gets to earn time for the weekends. And on the rare occasion, if they don't have school the next day, or if he's gotten all his stuff done, or maybe he's done really well on a test and he doesn't have much homework, we'll kind of relent and let him play. Or we used to relent and let him play like on a Monday or Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then the next day, it's, you know, even though he hadn't been able to play during the week for a year, and he finally got to play on a Tuesday night. Oh, well, since I got to play last night, I thought that for now on we can play. So when it benefits him, it's the new trend. When it doesn't benefit him, he wants to forget it ever happened. So
it's
kind of the ongoing frustration. I can't give you any advice because I'm still trying to figure out how to unlock that. We'll try incentives for a while, but even incentives fade out after a while. After 3 or 4 weeks, whatever incentive program we have fades away, and you have to start another one. So we've kind of gotten out of the incentive program. We have a base incentive program, and it's not a life support, but we kind of just tread water with it. We don't as actively pursue it as we used to. Right now, we're more just telling him, just because these are the things you have to, if you want to drive, if you want to go off to college, these are the things you have to do every day without us asking, begging, pleading, threatening, whatever else.
Mm-hmm. And they're realistic expectations for him.
Yeah, it's real, you know, I almost feel bad using the words, you know, stupidly easy, but it is. It's just basic stuff that I know he's got ADD, and I struggle with him having it probably more than my wife does, but you know, you're just watching your 14-year-old son just give you so much grief because you asked him and you have to stand over him and watch him water pick his teeth to ensure that he will.
Mm-hmm.
It's painful.
No, I hear you. And with teenagers, it's hard, right? Because it's hard to know if, you know, some of it's attitude or if it truly is just that they can't do this by themselves yet. You know, and I think as parents, we're always kind of wondering, you know, are they messing with me? Or is this accurate? But, you know, it doesn't help in any way for us to have that. At least it doesn't help me to be thinking in my mind, he's just doing this to make me mad. I know we can do this. That doesn't help the situation at all. So we have to stay
in that
shifted expectation mode, kind of take that button away, you know, so if we don't have the button or we don't allow them to push it, then we can't get triggered. And just focus on, you know, he can't do it now. He will be able to do it, and it's taken a heck of a lot longer than I thought it would and that I hoped it would, but he will be able to do it eventually. And the systems and structures you have in place are working because he can do those things as long as you're there to be his body double or to prompt him to remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's great feedback. Great feedback. And I remember there's a information called Behind the Wheel. And I'm going to post it in the forum, and it's a driving thing for kids with ADHD, and it's recommendations on specific driving schools and specific things that they need to do or be able to do before they can get their driver's license. So I'll post that in the forum, too. Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah.
So we're getting close to the top of the hour. Let's go ahead and kind of take aim and check out at the same time.
I had a question.
Yeah.
This is Andrea. You were mentioning that one of the systems and structures is, like, if they wait until the last minute and then stay up all night to do their homework.
No, that's a way. It's a way that their people with ADHD sometimes find it's a way to get their brains engaged in what's going on. And I think some people come to rely on that as their system and structure. And it certainly, you know, turns on that just get it done button because that's that sense of urgency, right?
Right.
It's not the best system or structure, right? It does work,
right.
But ideally, we have systems and structures that don't involve, you know, all nighters.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what my daughter does.
Ah.
So, you know, even when we try to put a system in place for her to try to, you know, plan things out to see how long it's going to take her to do things and do a little bit every day, she, you know, relies on that one. And it's just hard, like you said, you have to get buy-in, and I guess we get stuck because she doesn't seem to want to buy into any of the, you know, the things we want to put in place. And so it's kind of like this constant struggle.
Yeah.
It's like if she doesn't want
to. Do you have to stay all night? Do you stay up with her all night, or does she get it done by staying up all night by herself?
No, she does it by herself. She doesn't even want us involved in helping her with any of her homework. She wants to just do it all herself, but,
gotcha.
You know, we
but
have
is she
to face
a mess the next day, or does she recover?
No, she's pretty much a mess.
Okay. Okay. And so what happens? What systems or structures or consequences do you have in place for the days when she's a mess?
Well, I mean, she feels the consequences of it because she's so tired, you know. I mean, that's kind of a natural consequence.
Yeah.
She's tired, and then
does she take it out on you guys, or is she just tired?
She's tired, and then she can't really focus the next day, but I mean, sometimes, no, she doesn't take it out on us. It's just hard to watch it because then, you know, it's like this kind of cascading problem where she gets tired and she doesn't focus and she kind of doesn't,
kind of gets behind in whatever else is going on that day. And so,
does she get caught up or does she remain behind?
Sometimes she gets caught up and then sometimes she just gets further behind.
Okay. And it's tough with that time management and time concept piece to connect them, I think, in you know, people who have ADHD in their brain. You know, 2 days later, if she's behind, it's hard for her to think, oh, I'm behind because I stayed up all night 2 nights ago. That was, you know, that could have been like 6 months ago as far as her brain is concerned.
And I try to talk to her about it. I try to say, well, you know, you stayed up all night the other night, so now you're tired. And I try to help her see the connections.
Mm-hmm.
So she realizes, you know, the consequences of what she, how she's, the system she has.
Yeah. Yeah. So what would a baby step look like?
Excuse me, Jeremy, I have to go. I need to log off the call here.
All right. Thanks for being here.
Okay, thanks. Have a great day. Talk to you in 2 weeks.
You too. Take care.
Bye.
Man, so
I don't know.
To hang up or sign off, feel free to do so. We'll go around and check out. And if you want to hang around after the top of the hour, that's totally fine. But if you need to go. Don't worry. Go ahead and go. Go ahead, Andrea.
Yeah, I don't know what the baby steps are. I mean, there have been times when we helped her plan stuff out and, you know, she followed the plan and, you know, things went a lot better and we try to point that out and, you know, praise her for that. But it's very inconsistent.
And she's going to college next year, right?
No, she's in. She's 15.
Oh, 15. Okay. So you got some time.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think just, you know, if we go back to the action model, and if this is the area that you think is most impacting her. And is the area that is the most in the most urgent need of a system or structure,
mm-hmm.
then I think we have to go back to that staying curious and breaking it down and start back at the beginning and see if
okay.
there's something in there that either we're missing or she's missing or doesn't realize, you know, kind of within that 24-hour time frame where she ends up staying up and realizing that she hasn't gotten something done yet, that you can put something in place to break that cycle there. But
mm-hmm.
it starts with, you know, staying curious around that.
Okay.
How does that feel?
That feels good.
Okay. Cool. All right. Anybody want to check out, tell us what you're going to take aim on and maybe what a realistic action step is?
This is Carolyn.
Hey, Carolyn.
And I think the baby step that I need to work on is who owns what?
Mm.
And I think being curious. I think at this point it's really just being curious. Oh, did I own that? Oh, is this mine? Because I think, and especially listening to everybody else, I mean, this is incredible because every time that I have tried to help someone else create a structure that works for them, it fails miserably.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it's my thing. I get a monkey on the back thing, you know. I mean, then it's like mine. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, you messed that up. Well, like, you didn't write your soccer schedule on the calendar, so I finally wrote it, so I knew what was going on, but I put the wrong, you know, I got the wrong line on the right, anyway, got the wrong field or whatever. It's
uh-huh.
all my fault. So I think I'm trying to, I think it's more who owns it. And to keep doing what I'm doing, which is incredibly uncomfortable, but to say, I'm not sure that's mine.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
What do you need to put in place? What system or structure do you need to put in place when you feel the urge to pick up something or take care of something that may or may not be yours?
Well, some of the things are that since I always have picked up, that it's realizing, well, of course you wouldn't know how to do this because I always did it.
Yeah.
So, but there's so many areas that it's like, well, just pick one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know.
Well, it sounds like you already hit on it. Maybe it's a mini training session, or you know, picking one thing that you know that you've always done that she needs to know, and working through that.
Yeah.
And give yourself some grace. I mean, we don't know what we don't know. You know, we know what's worked for us because that's what's worked for us. And so it's completely okay to start there and to say this is the system or structure that works for me. And, you know, it may actually work for our kids, too. You never know.
Well, I think Jeremy, the wonderful thing is just listening to you talk with us and things, the coaching approach works. And so it's more just like, oh, so it's all different, but it's you're not owning what I can't do. And it's more helpful to me when you help me figure it out myself and then take an itty-bitty step that's likely to be successful. And could I do that with others?
Yeah.
On little itty-bitty things, you know?
Absolutely.
Like not own it, just like, huh, I wonder what it would be like if I just didn't even own it.
I love that. It's hard. It's so hard. Thank you for that. I think that's an excellent observation. It's so true and so hard. Wonderful on so many levels. Thank you. Thank you for saying that.
Thank you. That's what I'll try. So I'll let you know next week what
it
felt like.
Awesome.
This is Jennifer. I need to run, but I think I'm going to kind of step back and go to the earlier step instead of trying to put a structure and system in place. Because the one time, we hit upon the one structure for the thing that we needed, and that's been working beautifully. And so the other things I feel like we struggle with don't, again, seem to lend themselves to the imposition of some kind of structure or system.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I need to maybe go back and do a little bit more work to think about why that is.
Yeah.
And to see
and
if
I'm
I can tease out.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, just to see if there are things I can tease out that, okay, there's this one thing that causes a blow up, but that's because, you know, we're not eating enough food right after school. Or there's this other thing that's causing a blow up because of whatever. Because I feel like kind of the low-hanging fruit of, like, feed him after school so he doesn't blow up, that's kind of been taken care of. These other what seem sort of spontaneous out of nowhere,
mm-hmm.
don't have a common denominator. And so I think I'm going to go back in the next little bit and try to see if I can find one. And then if not, maybe I'll have more questions.
Okay. Yeah. And that may be it. I mean, it sometimes there's just not a common denominator, and it's a matter of working on self-regulation or self-awareness. And I'll go ahead and post that link to the book that I was talking about earlier in the forum. I like it because if the whole family uses the same language, it's helpful. It's called anger dousing, or it's not the name of the book, but the technique is called anger dousing, and kind of putting the fire out before it starts or in the middle of it.
I'll share that.
I don't want you to go buy the book or anything like that. It's just it's just one thing that's been helpful for us. So just a suggestion. But I think starting with being curious, like you said, and really looking to see if there's a common denominator there first is a great way to start.
Okay. And maybe I can buy it at the library or something.
Yeah. Or I can send you my copy when we're done.
So I have to run. I apologize. I won't
be
here.
Okay. No, you're good.
Out,
we're late.
I'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
All right. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
All right, who's next?
This is Andrea, and I guess, I'm going to focus on staying curious and kind of like what the other person said was, You know, like if she wants to own doing her homework herself and doing it the way she's doing it, then I should probably just let her, you know, instead of trying to put my system in place that I guess probably might not work for her or, you know, at this point. If she is doing it that way and not asking for help, then I guess I mean, it's like she said, it's hard, you know, it's hard to watch them do it that way.
It is. Because you're like, I wouldn't do it like that. That's not good for
you.
No,
I mean, because you see what happened. You know what's going to happen, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, they have to suffer for the next few days because they're so tired, and then they get behind in other things, and it's just, it's like, I don't want to have to feel the repercussions of, you know, what she's doing,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, very uncomfortable for me. But I guess trying to force her to do things the way I want her to, just it doesn't work.
Mm. But you said something interesting earlier. You said that you've tried putting some things in place where she followed either a plan or a program, and she didn't end up spending or staying up all night to get something done. So we know she can do it.
Yes.
She can be effective that way. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean, with a lot of the things that we try to do with her, we know she can. She just can't do it consistently. And I guess she has to be in the right frame of mind or in the right place or, you know, everything else has to be, like,
the planets have to align.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's it.
I mean, you've hit on it. That's the crux of ADHD, right? I mean, it's situational in a lot of things. And if their brains aren't engaged, they can't do it. But in some situations, they can, you know, and in a way, that's the curse of it as well. Because when we see them do it once, we're going to expect them to do it again, and they may not be able to.
Yeah.
Yeah. So add that to
your
expectations.
Same thing with you know, the other lady is saying how her kid blows up. Like, I realize that my daughter does that, and I figured out that she does that. She, you know, she has this reaction when I'm trying to talk to her about something that she cannot process at that time because she's thinking or worrying or anxious about something else,
uh-huh.
which she doesn't tell me about. And I'm trying to talk to her about, you know, planning ahead or doing whatever, and she's just like, stop, Mom. I can't.
Ah.
This is not helping me.
Ah.
And
you ever ask
I realized, yeah, she's thinking about something else.
Ah. That's awesome. I mean, that's great. No, seriously. I mean, we forget that our kids, their heads may be in some completely different space, and we've got our own agenda, and we're like, okay, I need you to do this and this and this, and where are you at with this? And they're like, oh, my gosh, I cannot talk to you right now. and that's fair, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, I'm curious to hear how things go.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, we got 1 minute. Any other burning needs, desires? Checking out. Lisa, are you on here? Okay.
I'm on here. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm on here. I'm just staying quiet because it's the first call I've been on, so I'm just listening, and I'm enjoying listening to everyone because I feel like parallel lives all over the country.
Isn't
that
it
we're
great
all living.
That we're not alone?
No, we're not alone. Yay!
Yay!
So I feel like the other caller having to look, you know, I need to go back to the other calls and kind of get caught up. So
I'm
kind of a newbie, but I'm a newbie who's motivated to get caught up because I really enjoyed the call. And I'm taking away a lot. And I was going to tell the guy about the braces. I showed my sons who have the same issue with not brushing their teeth. And I showed them before and after of a kid who did not take care of their teeth and what their teeth are permanently damaged and what they look like. And also I enlisted my dentist to scare them into brushing their teeth. So
perfect.
That's my tactic. And
fear
we go
can be
for
a structure.
It's called like outsourcing your scare tactics to someone else.
Totally. Love it.
And we go to the dentist for cleanings. Now we're going to go like every 3 months instead of every 6 months. So it'd be constant reminders of good dental hygiene.
Fabulous. I love it. Will you post something about that in the Lifeline forum on Facebook?
Sure. I mean, and I feel like I probably need to make some phone calls to make sure I know what I'm doing. I kind of need to get reacquainted with all the resources that are available. So I got to explore my emails and links.
Yeah, well, just send me an email or give me a call if you need some help getting caught up or you can't find whatever you need to find. It's pretty straightforward, but yeah, you'll catch up, no problem. And you're not behind, and even if you don't listen to anything, just, you know, dial in when you can, and we get something out of every call, I think, so regardless of whether or not you've been reading the book or listening to the previous call. So just be here when you can.
Okay, I will do that.
Cool. All right, guys, have a wonderful couple weeks. I will talk to you in a few.
Sounds good.
Thanks for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great work.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
The moderator has left the conference.